Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and tear you to pieces. Do to others what you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. How narrow is the gate that leads to salvation, and how few there are who find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This Gospel there's really three separate sayings here, and I want to look at two of them quickly and spend a little more time on the last one. This first one, you know, we don't talk like this usually today, but the Jewish people had these expressions, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine. It was said in the Old Testament that once meat had been consecrated to the Lord, say for example the Passover lamb or anything in the temple that had been burned and offered to God, could never be thrown to animals, or wild animals. It was always to be consumed only by human beings, and it would be completely inappropriate to throw this consecrated meat to the animals. And so that's where the origin of the expression comes from. And the idea of putting your pearls before swine, well, the bottom line is that pigs only value what they can eat. And, you know, they snip the pearls and they can't eat them, so they just trample them underfoot. They just don't, you know, the only value what they can eat. All right, so you could put fine pearls or precious stones and gold and heaps of gold in front of them, and they can't eat it. Why bother with it? So again, these are the origins of these sayings. Now, but of course, to apply them to human beings, of course, we live in a kind of a time where we're very kind of, we don't use expressions like this any longer. We don't consider it appropriate to refer to other human beings as dogs or to refer to them as swine or pigs. Now, if you listen carefully, though, the statement is not saying they are pigs or they are swine or they are dogs, but they are like pigs or swine or dog. You may say, well, that's a fine distinction, but it's a distinction, and it's not so we have to simply be careful. In other words, if sometimes we put what we greatly value before certain people, they don't value it at all. What good is this? You know, I can't have fun with this, or I can't, it's not money, I can't spend it, it's not food, I can't eat it, you know, what good is it? They just trample it underfoot, like pigs would trample pearls underfoot. You know, in other words, if a person says, if it doesn't give me pleasure, or it doesn't rock my, you know, it doesn't, you know, ring my bell, or make me excited, or happy, or give me pleasure, I don't care about it, I don't want it. See, if I can't spend it, or anyway, it's no good. So we sometimes put our religious truths before people, and it means nothing to them. So the Lord is simply saying that not everyone is ready to appreciate or to hear the beauty and the value of what we most treasure, at least we should most treasure. So again, that's the meaning of these expressions. And notice it says that don't do this, lest they trample them underfoot and tear you to pieces. So again, sometimes not only do they simply disregard the beauty of our truth, but they also ridicule it and want to kill those of us who bring the message. And we see increasing anger being directed at the church in recent years over our sexual teachings, primarily. And the church, the world says that the church is obsessed with sex. But turn on the TV and tell me who's obsessed, okay? I mean, you know, we're only answering questions of the day. It's not a question of being obsessed. Sex is a normal and healthy and a good part of life and married life. It's actually a way to holiness. Couples are encouraged to be frequent with each other. This is a way to be holy, to bear children and so on, to share their love. It is a holy and a good and a precious thing. We're not obsessed by it. In fact, we encourage it in marriage. But in the end, it has a proper place. And there is an improper place. So again, that's but many times, not only does the world, you know, just trample these teachings underfoot, but they want to tear us to pieces for daring to speak this way and sounding so judgmental that we would actually criticize them for their ways. So again, the Lord is in effect saying, one needs to sort of know their audience to know what they're able to really share in a given time. And that's the advice. Now, here it says, do to others what you would have them do to you, the so-called golden rule. This is the law and the prophets. And so morality isn't that hard to figure out, is it? You know, should I be kind or should I be hateful? Well, let me figure this one out now. Well, how would I want people to treat me? With kindness or with hatefulness? Let me think now. Let me work my way through that. Oh, okay, I better be kind then. Should I seek revenge or mercy? Well, again, what would I have someone do for me? See? So it's not as though we have to go to some mountaintop to find the law necessarily. It's already written in our heart. We already know what is right. And we've got a conscience, and God wrote His law there. And in the end, we have a reasonably refined self-interest, and we know how we want to be treated. And so the Lord is simply saying, well, what? You don't have to go to the mountaintop. Why don't you just look right in your own heart, and you'll know what to do. Now, the third one calls us to urgency. The Lord says, enter through the narrow gate. Enter where? Well, to heaven, in other words. Enter to heaven through the narrow gate. Notice the narrow gate. Oh, you're so narrow-minded. Thank you. You're just so narrow. Yeah, thank you. You're so straight-laced. Yeah, all that straight and narrow stuff. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank you. When they call you narrow-minded, just remember this passage, all right? So enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, namely to hell. And those who enter it are many. Pay attention. Pay attention. Many. See, again, like today, a lot of people, I'm talking about Christians and Catholics in the pew, basically think that everybody's nice and everybody's going to heaven. Jesus did not teach that to us. That is our own made-up, fanciful, stinking thinking. The Lord teaches us just the opposite, that sadly, many, many are on the road that leads to damnation. Many, many. Maybe even among our family and our friends. So, in effect, the Lord is saying, sober up. Sober up. All right. Now, how narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to salvation, and how few there are who find it. Those who find it are few. Pay attention. See? Now, I don't mean to keep saying pay attention, but the Lord wants to get our attention here. Now, I'm among those who are, I would say, quite faithful to prayer. And I'm not saying any of us in this room are free of sin. I'm not saying there might not even be some serious things in our life that need attention. But I would say that certainly we're among those where there seems to be some hope. The Lord has made promises to us through the sacraments and through His Word and so on. And thanks be to God, we've been able to hear this Word and we find our way to His house with some frequency. And here you are tonight at an optional service, the novena. But we certainly do have loved ones and family members and all that we can probably have some pretty serious concerns about. And a lot of times we like to think, well, it'll all be okay. Well, just let these words sober us up a little bit. Now, it could well be okay if we get about our task, which is to preach, to teach, to call, to correction, to admonish, to warn, to encourage, to all of these, this is our task. You see, the idea that we have this developed, that the religion is just this private thing, is a very unbiblical and very tragic approach, because we are actually called to go and call the sinner. Well, part of calling the sinner is to first of all realize how serious their condition is. If you don't think that something's very serious, you're not going to do much about it. If you've got a fever of 99, well, one thing, but if it's 103.5, well, that's another thing, right? See? And so the Lord is trying to say to us, this is a very serious matter, this thing called sin. And it leads many to hell. And so we need to understand that this is a very serious thing. We make light of it. I say, I don't mean all of us in the chapel, but we human beings, we make light of sin. We don't think it's that big a deal. But God does, and listen to what He's saying to us. So I would just say that we need to hear very, very clearly this call to really earnestly pray and work for the salvation of others. It was this sentiment that made missionaries get on the boats and sail around the globe to far-off lands to preach the gospel to people because they actually thought they might go to hell if they didn't hear it and obey it and get saved. Imagine. Oh, that's so narrow-minded. Thank you. Thank you. That sounds harsh and critical and judgmental. Well, I'm just... They had heard a mandate from Christ that I'm the only way to the Father, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. And they actually took those words seriously, and they also heard words like this that said, many are on the road that leads to damnation, only a few on the road to salvation. And they got busy. They got active. Yeah, they weren't running around in a panic. They had moved from emergency to urgency. They weren't running around in a panic, but they had a certain urgency that this work is absolutely essential and it really needs to be done. And I might be killed for it. I might become unpopular. I might have to risk being yelled at, called names. I might have to risk any number of things, lose some of my personal comforts to do this. I might not be as well liked. It's, you know, because the world wants to just make me fit into its ways, but I won't. And so there may be a price to pay, but it's worth it because I don't want souls to be lost. See the idea? And people endured many great discomforts to bring the faith to many parts of the world. People endured martyrdom. They endured torture. They endured the loss of property. They endured many, many grave personal attacks and assaults, and sometimes being disowned by their family. They endured all these things, and we can't even be bothered because somebody might raise their eyebrow at us. See, now, please, I don't mean to say this is true of everyone in the chapel. I'm just saying that this is the thinking today, right? We don't want to risk being unpopular. We don't want to risk anything. And therefore, it is tragic. It is a tragic thing that many are not being called back from their ways. You know, so if a son or a daughter is fornicating or all shacked up, cohabiting, that we need to talk to them about that. We need to warn them that the Bible says fornicators don't go to heaven. We need to go to people who refuse to forgive and are seeking revenge and who are mean-spirited and ugly or hate the poor. We need to talk to people who are missing Mass on Sunday, and we need to warn them. And say, but they might yell at me. Yeah, and you'll survive that. But again, well, I got to kind of keep peace in the family. You understand, Father. Jesus says, I've come to divide households. Now, we're not willing to do it, see. And again, I'm just saying... I'm not saying any of this is easy. I'm just saying this is what the Lord is teaching us in the gospel like this, that we have a very powerful admonition from Him that many are on the road that leads to hell. Sober up. Don't pretend that it'll all be okay in the end, because it may not unless you and I get busy. So that's the ultimate teaching that comes here. So a number of teachings today. Now, I would imagine that some of you, in fact, just a moment ago, as we stopped and prayed in our novena prayers, were probably praying for some of your family members, friends, and others who are away. And I would just ask you to keep doing it. And where possible, work. Work for their salvation. That is to say, talk to them, urge them. And I know, you've got to try different techniques. It can't just all be warnings. Sometimes it has to be words of encouragement. And there are times where we have to just give personal testimony of how the Lord's been good to me and what He's doing in my life and why I find Him in the Blessed Sacrament and why church nourishes me and supports. So it's not all negative, but it's a positive message too. But we keep working. We never give up. We keep working at this. And they say, there you go again, Mom, Grandma. There you go again. Come on. When are you going to stop talking about it? You know I'm never coming to church. I'm not going to stop talking until you start coming. You know, but... It's worth the price to bring someone back to Christ. And I'll tell you this, sometimes we don't think it makes any difference, but in 20 years as a priest, I've been able to reconcile a lot of people who've been away for years and years. And somewhere, somehow, someone or something finally got through to them, and they're back to God. See? So it does work, but it does take perseverance. It takes effort. So a lot of good teachings today, and we have a work to do, and so we need to get about it. Amen.
Amen.